It's late July, which means sometimes you got to get a little creative with what we talk about here on Locked On Warriors. Not a whole lot going on in the news front for the most part. Draymond Green reportedly wants a max extension. I will cover that on future shows, I promise. But for this show, it's a crossover with the Chicago Bulls show, more specifically, because Draymond Green, who I just mentioned a moment ago, a couple days ago said the 2017 Golden State Warriors would beat the 1998 Chicago Bulls. And that stirred up the brain a little bit, made the folks with Locked On Bulls, Pat, Hayes, and myself start to wonder who would win that hypothetical matchup. I also got their perspective on the Warriors roster. Fresh perspectives are always a beautiful thing. They gave me a chance to analyze their roster a little bit. We talked about this hypothetical. We talked about the GOAT conversation and how Jordan is easily number one. I had a blast with these guys, and I hope you do too. It's a special crossover edition. Locked On Warriors, Locked On Bulls. Next, this is Locked On Warriors.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's good, everybody? It is your boy, Pat the Designer, back at it again, joined by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. CEO Hayes in the building. And we've got a special guest on today's show, breaking down the 17 Warriors versus the Bulls with us, host of Locked On Warriors, Cyrus. Now you got to help me with the last name, brother. I'm not
Sotsis, gonna lie. And don't worry about it, man. It's the hardest last name ever. I'm just sitting here like looking like an amateur act here, man. I got to go back to the bush leagues because you two have your like crazy backgrounds. For the people watching on YouTube, you're like, your outfits are matching your sets, and you got like cool nicknames. Like, it's not just your name, it's like you got something after. I pale here, man. This is ridiculous. So thanks for having me, because this is your show clearly, and I'm just tagging along.
No problem. No problem. I'm glad. It's the crossover episode. It's our show. We're a family today. Locked On Warriors, Locked On Bulls. We're in the building. But to start things off, we got to talk about this Bulls and Warriors preseason schedule. We got both of those today. Hayes, I think you got that schedule pulled up for us, my guy. What are the Bulls looking like on the preseason side early on in this thing?
So we got the New Orleans Pelicans October 4th. The Denver Nuggets, October 7th, the Toronto Raptors, October 9th, and the Milwaukee Bucks, October 11th.
All playoff teams. And the interesting thing about preseason in the NBA, especially with only four games now, is like, you see your players play now. So that's always interesting. And since we're doing the crossover episode, what's the Warriors preseason schedule looking like there, Cyrus?
It's a weird schedule this year, man. First of all, I didn't realize that the schedule came out. Thanks for making me aware of it. The Warriors play their first two preseason games in Saitama City, Saitama. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, in Japan. They play the Washington Wizards, a team I was telling you two off the air has the worst nickname in all of the four major professional sports leagues. So they play the Wizards twice. Then they play the LA Lakers, a team destined for the lottery next year, except they don't have a pick. And then the Portland Trailblazers, who actually might be really good, and they took Gary Payton II away from the Warriors. Dude, do you guys put weight on the preseason? What are your thoughts on that?
For me, I look at the preseason, at least now, considering the Bulls did not fare good against top teams in the NBA, I like the fact that we're playing all playoff teams in the preseason as a nice tune-up for the season, but yeah. I usually don't put a lot of weight on it. But, you know, considering the storylines coming in, got a nice rookie in Dalen Terry. Lonzo Ball hopefully coming back from injury. What does Zach LaVine look like after offseason knee surgery? I'm putting a little bit more weight on this preseason than I normally do, but it's still not much.
Yeah, that's fair.
I put pretty much nothing on preseason because it's literally like you'll see a game where like your team gets blown out. But if you understand what's happening in the game, you're like, well, yeah, they worked on this the entire game. Of course, they're going to get blown out, right? Like, they worked on this specific defensive set, or they worked on this specific offensive play, trying to work something in and get themselves used to it. So I put nothing. I mean, you've got to be the same way with a team that's won four titles already.
it's weird, though. There's two sides to that, because you're right. On one hand, it literally means nothing. You're out there basically just warming up your vets while getting your young guys and your new players kind of acclimated. But on the other hand, like, there is, like, I have seen momentum carry over from the preseason to the regular season. Like, last year, the Warriors started the season 18-2, and it surprised a lot of people who just weren't really analyzing them closely or just lost faith in them. But the Warriors were 5-0 in the preseason before that. And they were playing, you know, and I'm looking at their schedule. They beat the Lakers twice. They beat the Nuggets, the Blazers twice. And they were beating these teams handily. And these are games, again, you're right, they mean nothing. But sometimes I do feel momentum does carry over from the preseason and the regular season. So it depends, man. It might mean something. You guys have a heavy, like, schedule there, though. You're right. You play four playoff-bound teams. The Bucks are actually have the second highest odds to win the title next year. Yeah, it's kind of crazy. It is.
I mean, I never thought of it that way. I mean, Hayes, when you think about it, right, like, could we say that the Bulls kind of did that last season, right? Like, we hit the ground running preseason, we was hyped. We were like, team looks like one of the most dominant defensive teams we've seen in Chicago in a while. That. And then it actually did carry into the regular season a little bit.
It did. I look at it like this. Like, yeah, it can be a tune-up, could be a great tune-up. But like you said, we may see a game where Billy Donovan just says, hey, we're going to let Patrick Williams runs the half-court offense this game. And it's hard to really kind of judge when you're working on things like that, the totality of the team. But I do think you can absolutely build momentum that you then carry into the season for sure.
I like it. Hey, you guys were 4-0 last year. I just looked it up. So, yeah, there you go, man. You had a hot start.
I just remember seeing it and being like, okay, it's preseason. Calm down, Pat. Don't be so excited. Like, these ones are dominated. Here's something, right? Because like Hayes brought it out, and we don't get the national perspective on Locked On Bulls all that often, and there's nothing more national right now than the Warriors right now. So when you're looking at this Bulls team, Cyrus, what do you really see – on this team that you feel like, okay, maybe they are ready? Or do you see something on this team that you feel like maybe they're going to be ready to take the next step if this happens? Maybe they're going to be able to get to that next level if this happens. What are you seeing on the national scale?
Well, I saw like a year ago. Well, I'm a basketball junkie, so I try to watch all teams as much as possible. But like the Bulls, the way they started last year was impressive. And when you look at the Bulls on paper, they got a lot of talent, right? I mean, they were a prime example of when free agency works for you, because they added DeMar DeRozan. They made the move to get Vucevic. You know, and then I think Alex Caruso was a grossly underrated addition. And I don't know how – to me, if I'm in your shoes, I'm still livid at Grayson Allen of the Bucks for that play that took him out, because I think that really just derailed everything for you guys. But I look at you on paper, and here's what I think. I think if Lonzo Ball can actually for once in his life be healthy for a full season, I think Patrick Williams, that injury was brutal as well. Like if he comes back and he's playing good, I think if Alex Caruso is healthy, I don't know if Goran Dragic does much, you know, like he's a solid player. Yeah. I don't know if he does much. But look, you guys, and then you're going to have to enlighten me on like players like Derrick Jones, for example, Kobe White. Like, these are guys, maybe they do contribute, maybe they don't. But on paper, your team is good. Like, your team looks like a team that, I don't know if they're a title contender, like they could be if Zach LaVine takes that next step. They could be, man. They got size. You got defense. I don't see holes on your roster. You know what I'm saying? So the sky's the limit. That is my perspective on the Bulls. The sky's the limit, but injuries really messed things up for you guys last year. Grayson Allen is the devil, if I'm a Bulls fan. You know, so because he really messed things up, man. That was such a dirty play, dude. Like, and this is me being impartial. I like both your teams. That was dirty, dude, plain and simple. So, I think, in my opinion, I think the Bulls, if they're healthy, can make a serious run. I don't know if you're beating the Celtics. I don't know if you're beating the Bucks. But I think you can give them you can give problems. So that's my take on it. What do you think?
That's an interesting perspective. I mean, especially, right, Hayes, because when we talk about our team, right, like for him to say he doesn't really see holes in our team, I mean, maybe because we watch the microcosms of it. We see these gaping holes at times. But I mean, like, even we've talked about it this year, right, like where the Bulls kind of have – we talked about on Chicago Bulls Central. Where do we feel the Bulls have the least amount of depth? And powerful. I really couldn't come up with a spot. I mean, do you feel like there's a spot where the Bulls lack depth this season, that if we lose this guy, the season's lost?
I mean, it's still Patrick Williams at the power forward. Like, to me, theoretically, if everything works and the Bulls are a player, Ayo Dosunmu or Patrick Williams making a considerable leap away from being a true, like, at least ECF contender, right? But that power forward position, we did not do anything for. Derrick Jones Jr. is not the answer at backup power forward. He can fill in and do some things, but, like, if Patrick Williams goes down again, we're looking at Javonte Green moving back in to being a 6'4 starting power forward and not having very much there to support quality, right? We got bodies, but as far as quality depth, we don't really have that there.
You don't think Marco's that?
I think he has to prove it.
Or just too unknown.
Until it's proven, I can't bet on it. That's all. That's all. Go ahead.
100%.
There you go. And Tristan Thompson's not back with you guys? And you added Andre Drummond, right?
Yeah, we did add Andre Drummond, which I think Andre Drummond is going to be way better than some people are thinking.
Agreed. Totally agree, man. I like him on your team, dude. So I really think it's all about health. That's my take. I think if the Bulls are healthy, they're going to give people problems, man. Like it was not a surprise to me the way they started last year, because DeMar DeRozan is a baller. Lonzo, I think as long as you limit the expectations for him, like, he's a solid point guard for you. You know, Zach LaVine is one of the best scorers in the game. Vucevic, I don't know what happened last year, man. Like, he was kind of a disappointment. Like, I hope he steps it up this year because he's got the talent. Yeah, dude, that's my take, man. I think your team is solid. And when we come back, I'd love to get your feedback on the Warriors after we talk about betonline.net. That's our sponsor, man. Longtime sponsor. The fastest and easiest way to check in on all your betting needs. Find all your favorite sports and events at the number one online source for odds, lines, and games. And the folks over at BetOnline sent us the odds of Kevin Durant's next team, if not the Nets. The Celtics are the overwhelming favorite now at minus 200. The Golden State Warriors are second at plus 350. And if you look down the list, they're in there, plus 2200. That's 22-1 odds. The Chicago Bulls. Any thoughts from you folks?
You're saying there's
Durant?
A chance.
I'm putting $10 on it right now. That's what I'm doing.
That's a big payday, man. That's 22 grand. That comes through.
Yeah.
That's huge. There you go. And you can do all that at betonline.net. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to learn more about the action happening today. Bet online. It's where the game starts. And we're back. Okay. So, Warriors, what do you think?
You're not going to hit no music, Hayes? I don't have no music.
I didn't know we have guests. I didn't know if you wanted to.
We're doing a crossover. Is there music? Oh, music.
Come on now,
we do music between segments. As we get into this second set, man.
Yeah, I mean, Pat the Designer, CEO Hayes, Cyrus, the 10th. I'm not going to get it. My bad, bro. Locked on Warriors, Locked on Bulls, crossover. We've got it here for you.
Bro, considering what your last name is, how can you not pronounce, like...
I don't know. I got nothing. Don't worry about it.
Keep it going.
Dude, my last name's crazy. There's literally two people in this entire country that have that last name, mine and my dad, and that's it. So, it is the weirdest last name possible. I do not fault you. Rick Barry, I host a podcast with him, doing a show with him for 3 years. He still does not pronounce it right. I never correct him because he's a Hall of Famer, dude. What am I going to do? Just Rick, yes, that is correct. Let's continue on.
There you go.
Hey, don't worry about my last name, man. It is crazy.
You gotta love it, man. No. I mean, our perspective on the Warriors, which is weird that he's asking, NBA champions. It's the best team in the league. And I think Stephen Curry actually got better last year. Mm. Like, it's crazy to say that, right? But we we'll get into the conversation on the 17 Bulls or 17 Warriors versus the 98 Bulls for sure in this segment. But I mean, when we talk about the 17 Warriors, the one thing that stuck out in me is how many people said Steph Curry doesn't like to be touched. Steph Curry doesn't like when you push him around, doesn't like when you put your hands on him. Steph Curry last season was out to prove a point. I don't care if the contact changes. I'm still going to be the best shooter of all time. And that makes Warriors team even more dangerous continuing, in my opinion.
No, you're right. And Steph got stronger, and that was underreported. He's been hitting the weights the same way Michael Jordan did after he lost the second time to the Pistons. He hit the gym, man. He got stronger. His defense is sound. Stephen Curry, for his size, and this is an argument I'll fight anyone on, man, verbally, of course, is that Stephen Curry at his height is an elite defender. Like, think of other people in the game who are 6'2", 6'3", And I think Stephen Curry is right there with him, man, when it comes to defense. He's not 6'6", so you can't really compare him to dudes that big. But for a guy who's 6'2", 6'3", playing point, he's up there with the best defenders, and people sleep on that, man. He's gotten better, but you're right. He gained strength, and he's at the point now where he can attack the rim and take those hits, and it doesn't faze him. So there you go.
That's fair. That's fair.
What do we think, man? Are we going to the debate? Let's do it.
I thought Hayes was going to drop something. I was leaving it open for him. That's all right.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
No. You guys said everything. I don't disagree with anything you guys said. Like, to me, like, you asked me my thoughts on the Warriors. You're asking me, like, my thoughts on the Bulls back when they were a dynasty. Like, seriously.
Question?
Yeah.
Is the Warriors losing GP2, like, that hurt me? And I'm happy they got JaMychal Green, basically. Mm-hmm. You know, that was what they kind of and Dante DiVincenzo, but they lost Otto Porter Jr. as well. Yeah. Does that matter from your perspective?
I think it matters more than what people are. Like, I look at Warriors games, and Gary Payton, literally, mm-hmm. there are times where what he did, his activity defensively freed up so much of everybody, even for Draymond. Right now, Draymond needs to shoot a little bit better. But yeah, I think Gary Payton II, him being gone, is going to – they can cover it up because they have so much talent on their roster, but it's going to take a while for them to adjust to that, I think, more than what people are realizing.
See, I feel completely the opposite just because Ooh. We continue to see this team just grow guys on trees. And like, you know, where's that defensive presence going to come from? Now, granted, right, we have to see it and would love to get your thoughts on it. But aren't they getting a 7'1" guy back that's supposed to be able to do everything on the basketball court?
That's what the Warriors did. They traded, they basically traded Otto Porter Jr. They traded Gary Payne II and Nemanja Bjelica. And in return, they got James Wiseman, Dante DiVincenzo, and JaMychal Green. So that's your swap for the Warriors this year.
It's not bad. Nah, he got to play. But it's not bad. We're here for a reason.
Yeah.
We're here for smoke. We're here for crossover. I'm sorry if this comes off a little bit antagonistic.
I love you guys. I love you guys already, man. Continue on.
We are here to debate the great debate. The 2017 Golden State Warriors versus the 1998 Chicago Bulls. We talked about it already, I'm sure, on both platforms, but breaking down Draymond Green's comments and how he said not only would they beat the 98 Chicago Bulls, but they would beat them by 20. And they would beat the Utah Jazz with Karl Malone by 40. Our audience has heard our thoughts on it. Cyrus, what are your thoughts? How do you feel about Draymond's comments? Do you feel like he's correct? Do you feel like he's embellishing a little bit?
All right. So first of all, before I start all this, have you seen the meme where Draymond Green is compared to Michael Jordan with that one spin and fadeaway?
Yeah.
Have you folks seen that yet? Which is the most ridiculous thing ever, but it's comedy. All right. So here's what I think, man. I think the 96 Chicago Bulls, and look, I cover the Warriors, but I also love them. So I always got to toe that objectivity line. And seems like you two, at least one of you, has to deal with that too. Pat, are you a Bulls fan as well?
Die hard.
Okay, so there we go. Okay, so we're all in the same boat here, man. All right, so with that said, I think the 96 Bulls are the greatest team ever. I don't think it's even close, right? So it was picky. You don't agree with that? You think there's someone better?
I'm just surprised by it.
Okay, so I do. I mean, look, man, I'm a student. I've been a student of this game since the mid-80s. And that Bulls team in 96, no one on the planet is beating them. I thought Draymond was a little, it was interesting that he brought up the 98 Bulls. And I think that's why it's kind of a debate, is because if it's the 96 Bulls, I think they beat the 2017 Warriors handily. I think if it's the 97 Bulls, might be a fight, but I think the 97 Bulls still win it. Now the 98 Bulls had some issues. You know, Scottie Pippen missed a third of the year. Jordan started to show his age a little bit toward the end there. I mean, the Pacers pushed them in those Eastern Conference Finals to 7 games. I'm never forgetting that, man. So, like, I think a lot of people, there's a reason why that was the last dance, man, because it was like, if we do this again, we might actually lose. And they walked away with perfection, dude. Like, the legacy, the last dance. I mean, that was just all just poetry on a basketball court. 98 Bulls and the 2017 Warriors, I think it's a fight, man. The 20-point thing is outrageous. You're not beating the Bulls by 20 points, because Draymond Green's argument was the style of play is different. And so because of the styles, the Warriors would beat them. You really don't think Phil Jackson's going to make adjustments? Like, I mean, you don't think Jordan's going to start shooting a few more threes? Or Jordan was one of the greatest defenders this game's ever seen. Scottie Pippen was one of the greatest defenders this game has ever seen. You had Ron Harper as your point guard, who's not a natural point guard, but you didn't really need a point guard. And he was a phenomenal defender. Dennis Rodman, arguably the greatest defender in the history of this game. I don't think the 2017 Warriors are lighting them up. They're not beating them by 20. But Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant. Steph is Steph. So if I had to twist my arm, I would say the Warriors win that game by like two. But I don't think the Warriors beat the 97 Bulls and certainly not the 96 Bulls. What do you think about that take?
I'm going to be honest with you, Hayes. I wasn't prepared for so much logic.
I was me.
Oh my god! Head on this and just like throwing
there's
it
a
out.
A lot of logic in there. A lot of logic in there. I appreciate it. But here's what I'm saying: the Bulls still have the greatest player of all time, regardless if he was showing his age or not. This is a Michael Jordan who even after retiring and coming back with the Washington Wizards still put up over 20 points per game. I'm not saying that it wouldn't be. In no way will I say that the Bulls sweep the Warriors, no matter what. It is, but I still trust the Bulls to come out.
Yeah,
on top.
Yeah,
of it.
It's just yeah. I couldn't argue with that. I thought Draymond was ballsy saying 20. I didn't realize that he used a nickname. He used a different word for that 20.
Dub.
I forgot what it was.
Dub.
Dub. Yeah, and I just didn't register as 20. I don't know why it didn't register to me. I just saw that and was like a win. Okay, and I didn't realize. So 20 is a lot. Asking a lot, man. I do think they beat the Jazz though, dude. I do. I don't think the Jazz had the firepower to match the Warriors. But I mean, look, man, Steve Kerr, this is the beauty of Steve Kerr, former Bull, by the way. I mean, man hit a game winning. What's up?
I said he's on that team. It would make it awkward.
He's on that team, right? So like Steve Kerr and his entire coaching, and what makes him a brilliant coach, in my opinion, is the fact that he's taken both Phil Jackson's teachings, played for him, and Popovich's teachings. Yeah. But when you look at Kerr's offense, right, that split action, the motion, that is a variance of the triangle, man. Like that is like Phil Jackson's triangle, just kind of adapted more loosely, right? So when Draymond says the styles are different, I don't really buy that because the Warriors are running an offense very similar to what the Bulls did. It's just Steph is your Jordan, and I'm sorry, Jordan is better. Or if you look at the 97 team, Durant is the Pippen. I think Durant has a slight advantage there. I don't know who Clay's like antithesis is. I don't know if it's Ron Harper. I don't know who you would call really. And the Bulls had a decent bench that year. I guess I have the roster in front of me. But ultimately, look, man, if you wanted like a big fight and if the audience wanted this huge debate, I'm sorry to let you down. I respect the Bulls tremendously. And that team. Oh, yeah, you had Tony Kukoc on that team, too. Like,
that's the difference maker there for me.
That was an argument that we had, right? Because Draymond's basing all of this in the fact that this team, this theoretical game is happening in the 2017 era of basketball. Mm-hmm. So one, right, if nobody can touch Steph, nobody could touch Mike, which is a scary thing to think about as well, right? Yeah, exactly. So, but me and Hayes have both said, one, Tony Kukoc is made for the modern NBA. Like he would be an amazing player in today's NBA. And I feel like Phil Jackson inserts him into the starting lineup. I feel like that might be a huge difference maker in this whole series because Draymond's got to guard somebody, but he can't guard everybody. And there's not a lot of lockdown defenders that are going to just completely shut out Kukoc, Jordan, Pippen, Harper. Harper really wasn't scoring at that point on the Bulls, but Harper was also a dude that was a 20-point-a-game guy before he got there.
People sleep on him, man. You're right. Yeah. People sleep on Ron Harper, dude. He was a legit baller. And then the Warriors had Iguodala who could play defense as well.
True.
So
Iggy coming off.
It would be a great battle, man. And I'm not an NBA 2K junkie like I should be. And in my point in life right now, I suddenly have some freedom. So maybe I'll start playing that. But like people can make those hypotheticals. Have you guys done that? Like, can they play?
This is the year to get 2K too, because if you buy the $150 version of 2K, you get a year of NBA League Pass for free, which is worth more than $150. So just an
FYI.
Holy,
you know what? Okay. Talking my language. All right. That's interesting. So I guess we'll say like it's a toss up. I'll pick Warriors by two. How many points are the Bulls winning it by?
Game seven, the Bulls win by five.
There you go. I just can't count out Jordan, dude. The guy is like,
it's Jordan.
And if you don't mind me switching gears here for a second, because we talked about bringing this topic up, and I'm glad I'm talking to you two, because I wish, and this is my plea to all of the Chicago fans watching this, I wish you folks were louder when the people who cry that LeBron is the GOAT, I wish you folks were louder and shutting those people up, man. Like, I waste a lot of energy on Twitter. I'm done much less, but I've wasted a lot of energy on Twitter in my life arguing with these jackasses because they have no idea what they're talking about. LeBron's a great player, man. He's top five all time. I could even stomach number two all time, but nah, he's not Stephen Jordan. I don't even think he's above
him. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't even put him above Kobe, and that's not a slight to him. That's just how the regard I hold Kobe. And here's the thing that I've learned in my time, because I've been a Bulls fan literally since birth. My dad's from the south side of Chicago, so I was born into it, is that I've learned that you can't have basketball conversations with idiots. And that's what I leave it at. Like, seriously, because you have people that no matter, like, I was talking to somebody about it before, and they're like, well, Steve Kerr was the Steph Curry of his age, so the Bulls were a super team. I said, now, hold on. Just because he was a great three-point shooter, he is not Steph Curry by any stretch of the imagination. And so if that, like, they bring up all these different criteria that just aren't reality, and at that point it's like, I'm not going to have the conversation with you. Like, I'm just not going to have
They're saying Jordan had, like, a Stephen Curry type help on his
So shout out to Nico Savage. I'm using names in this. His name's Nico Savage. He said that the Bulls were a super team because Stephen Curry – not Stephen Curry. God, I'm mixing names. Steve Kerr was the Steph Curry of that age. And I just looked at that and said, you're an idiot. You're really just dumb.
I think
you're just stupid.
Here's the thing, though, right? Here's the thing, though. And this is the only thing that I'll give to the modern generation, the only olive branch I'll extend, because these two are going to eviscerate y'all this whole show if I don't. Jordan fans created this.
How?
Jordan fans created this argument by Jordan doing what he did and then saying nobody by playing basketball well at any point will ever be able to meet this. And so because of that, we're going to eviscerate everything about your era of basketball that equates to making Michael Jordan great.
I got
to
disagree.
I'm talking about the super, super Jordan.
No,
I'm not
I got to disagree.
I'm not talking about logical basketball fans.
No, I got to disagree. The insecurity of LeBron fans are what created this narrative because they felt like they have to have a defense for their generation's GOAT, and to do that, they have to compare because he came in wearing number 23. They have to then try to belittle and make less the impact that Jordan had to boost up their hairline deficient player in LeBron James.
But I think Jordan fans do the same thing.
No. I think our great actually just went ahead and embraced the ball. Because LeBron would have six titles right now if he shaved his head.
No, but this is the thing.
You and I are in the same. Hayes, I dig you, man. People do not talk about that enough. Like, that is a flaw in LeBron's personality. Like, the fact that he had to do the hair plug thing. Like, that's an insecurity, man. Like, that means, like, he cares. Jordan never cared what other people thought about him, right? That was part of his mental toughness. He's like, he just didn't care. He had no qualms about another person's opinion about him. Clearly, LeBron does. Clearly, LeBron is a very self-conscious, very insecure individual, and it starts with those damn hair plugs, man. Like, a man does not care what other people think, or he does if he's doing that. Sorry, dude. That's a tangent.
Listen,
but I'm with
you,
man.
To double down on that, he got those fresh hair plugs in, he made that post like, oh, y'all thought I was bald? Because you were. You just went and bought that. You just went and purchased that hair, brother. Come on, man. I'm sorry.
I tried to extend y'all the olive branch, and they just started sawing it as it was going out there.
That's funny.
I respect what LeBron is able to do on the basketball court. 100%.
I do too.
I think he is the second greatest player probably to ever hold a basketball. Arguably third right now, but then once he becomes number one on scoring, I think he's definitely the second greatest player to ever touch a basketball, skill-wise, in my opinion. But I do think that there's too much bashing of the era of basketball and not enough of an understanding of this is not the same era of basketball. Jordan fans will say, well, this era is too soft. If Jordan played here, he'd average 50. He dang near might, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't take that away. You can't touch him. That's a more dangerous player than he already was. And he was almost averaging 40 when he did.
Yeah.
When you actually could touch him up. But I think also there's the disrespect, like the JJ Redick comments and stuff like that, where you call guys from Jordan's era or guys from eras before plumbers and firemen that were doing it. And I don't like the disrespect of the eras, because I think it just it's a weak debate to me. Like, debate the basketball side of it. Well, if he didn't do that, you know, like that's like saying, well, if Tom Brady didn't have an offensive line, he wouldn't have six Super Bowls.
Yeah, you're right. You're right, man. I'm totally with you. And somebody made a point of this. I can't remember who it was, but they made a great argument that when you look at the difference statistically and from accolades between Jordan and LeBron, like what separates them, right? Like Jordan had, I think, has 8 or 9 more scoring titles.
Yeah.
He has a Defensive Player of the Year award, which LeBron's never won. I think he has 1 more MVP award. He has 2 more Finals MVP awards. Just those accolades by themselves that separate the two players would be a Hall of Fame career. Yeah. And that's the difference. So it's point. I don't know how you could put them in the same conversation. I don't know if you guys know this as well. So Skip Bayless, our fellow media colleague who is enjoying wild success at Fox Sports, and I consider a friend of mine, actually. I used to work with him for a long time. He Dub Nation hates him because he does nothing but criticize Stephen Curry, rarely gives him love. But I don't know if you guys know this, that the reason why Skip constantly criticizes Steph and has a bone to pick with him constantly is because of 2016. He thought Stephen Curry gave – I call him the LaHive, right, the LeBron fan base, because he gave the LaHive fuel for this GOAT argument by him winning the 2016 finals, and he resents Stephen Curry for that. It's pure comedy, man. That's how much he hates all the LeBron fans. So I don't know if you knew that. But I just want to throw that in there as well, just to add to the whole ludicrousy of all this.
Hey, we've literally gotten everything on this podcast, man. We've gotten 17 versus 98 debate. We've gotten preseason talk, LeBron hate. Glad we were all together, able to come together as a family on this, man. I really feel good about this episode. Hey, man. Cyrus, we appreciate you for joining the show. Likewise. And for the Locked On Warriors fan base that's watching this. Keep winning. I don't know. What do you want me to say to you? You guys win a lot. I got nothing for you. Cyrus, let everybody know where they can find you, man, and can get.
Yeah. Thank you. Just follow me on Twitter at DogSurfRoadShow, the program on Twitter at Locked On Dubs. Thanks for taking the lead on this, guys. This was fun, man. You guys are good people. Thank you.
For sure. Appreciate it. Thank you, as always, man. I am Pat the Designer. Follow me on everything at Pat the Designer. And follow us both on everything at Locked On Bulls.
You can follow me at CEO Hayes, the CEO, H-A-I-Z-E. And thank you for making Locked On Bulls your first listen every day. Now for your second listen, go and check on Locked On NBA, where the Locked On experts break down all the latest news, rumors, and developments going on in the NBA in 30 minutes or less. You can get it wherever you get your podcast. But for Pat the Designer, and also for Cyrus for today, I'm Hayes. This is Locked On Bulls, and we're out today. Peace, y'all.